very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son, and he is so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, where we explore the Islamic upbringing of children and teenagers, guided by the wisdom of the Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Today, we are honored to have Sister Salma Khalfan, a distinguished Islamic researcher, with us to shed light on this important subject. Salaamu alaikum, Sister Salma. Thank you for joining us today.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
Thank you so much for being here. In the previous episode, we were talking about what role religion has to play in shaping the personality of our youth. And you gave us some very good practical points, some of which were, you know, life becomes meaningless without religion, and the youth and everybody tend to waste time more without, if they don't have something, you know, to kind of hold them, to kind of show them the path. Bad manners are formed, individuality is lost, and personality fades. And, you know, also talking about how at this moment is when we need people to turn to, we need something to show us the path, you know, and that's where Islam's role is kind of brought into light.
Yes, that's true. So we also should bear in mind that one of the things that personality forms is that identity of a person. The person should know themselves, where they are from, where they will return, whom they came from, where they came from, you know. So this identity crisis is solved by Islam. According to one psychologist, he said the identity that a young person seeks to encounter is, who am I?
Yeah.
What role do I play in the society? Am I a child or an adult? All this, you know, religion gives us so clear answers about it, right?
Yeah.
Young people have many questions to the nature of the world, their relationship to the world, what they should contribute to the world, the purpose of this creation and this life. They have so many questions. Why am I? A person gets fed up. A youth, you know, with the monotony of life, would get fed up and say that, oh, what's the use? I'm coming, even if it is successful, but if he doesn't have religion, you get fed up of the monotony.
Then what?
Yeah. Exactly. After that, what? So, the purpose and the creation of life, there's a purpose and end purpose. You're doing everything, what? In the way of Allah. Qurbatan ilallah is what we are told to do. Everything in our life, even if it be very simple things. The best way of life and choosing values and beliefs is only in, for example, Islam. So this will, all these questions contribute to the formation of a young person's identity. And he searches for some criteria for judging his and others' behavior. Like he's searching that what is good behavior and what is bad behavior. You know, in Islam we have such absolute goodness. We don't have relative. Sometimes this, sometimes that. So this really gives a satisfaction to a youth when he knows religion. So this is brought to attention that how tarbiyat ulad is important, right? When you bring your children into good Muslims, then they come to realize and differentiate good and bad when they come of age, and then they do their things with ma'rifah, with you know, like knowledge, deep knowledge, understanding. That's the time it shapes their personality in a good way.
Exactly. So we'll just take a short break and we'll pick up shortly from that.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, where we were just discussing about what role religion has to play in shaping the personality of our youth. And we were just discussing about how identity is one of the most important things in our lives.
So at this stage, religion plays a very effective role, and it invites men towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the origin of perfection. Man arafa nafsa, faqad arafa rabba. When he knows himself, you know, that identity crisis has gone away now. He knows himself, where he came from, what's his purpose in life, why was he created, what role he has to play in the society, in the family. Is it useless, or does it have an aim and purpose? Is it like, for, should he have hope for doing this or anything that he does? So then he will come to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the origin of perfection. And that's the time it'll form his personality, when he knows the origin of perfection, and that he can also get those attributes of perfection. Personality is formed through those perfection qualities, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Good personality. Because we don't say that he has a bad personality, not as much as we say that he has such a great personality, right?
Yeah.
So it grants him stability and peace of mind, and prevents him from perplexity. It gives him a sense of motivation in everything he does. So whatever one does is not useless or not counted. It's everything that is counted. You know, Allah puts it in the records of his book.
Definitely.
That whatever he's done is in the way of Allah. It's qurbatan ilallah. And that's why whatever niyat we should have, especially in the time of wajibat, should be qurbatan ilallah, to take you close to Allah.
Exactly, and I think we can see this very clearly, especially in what's happening in Palestine, where people and children, youth, everybody of all ages, they have this hope, they have this drive, where they're saying, you know, Allah is there for us, He is enough for us. Kind of feeling this peace in their hearts that they know there is somebody watching them, they know there is somebody who is there for them, they know they have somebody to turn to. This realization, I feel, is so necessary. Imagine if in all of that, in all of those trials, they have nobody to turn to.
That's right.
It's so difficult.
Yeah. So here we talk mostly about that aspect of your ideology, your belief about yourself, the ideas you have about why you were brought up, you know, why you were brought in this earth. Then your knowledge towards Allah, your aqidah is formed. And then your personality can be shaped in a better way. When it talks about iman and amal salih, now we are talking about amal salih, the virtues, the actions that you do, how does that shape the personality? That amal salih itself means balanced character. It shapes your personality in such a way that you don't have any extreme in your side, nor do you have any negligent in your side. It's the way Imam Ali expresses, you know, the side of sirat-e-mustaqim. Sirat-e-mustaqim is not going wayward in both paths of extreme or negligence. So when a person has a balanced personality, a proper personality, he will never do something that is extreme or never neglect something.
Yeah.
Be it every corner of the life. Like the Holy Prophet, you know, divided his time into four or three portions. Some say four, some say three. Like two for himself, to take care of his good grooming, you know. And that's very natural, right? Another part for the society, the people, to engage in halal conversation, to make them feel happy, to see what their problems were. Another one for his family, and another one for ibadat. That was, of course, the foremost.
Yeah.
But everything has its proper place. So that's like a balanced personality. So religion gives you all that, you see. Other religions make you, you know, adhere to the principles that are completely illogical or want you to worship more than what is the required amount. But here everything is balanced. It shapes your personality in such a beautiful way that, you know, you're not even taken wrongly when other people see you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have time for every moment that is halal.
Very
for you.
True. Yeah. So we're just going to take a quick break and we'll pick up from this.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي
So welcome back to IRIB English Radio, where we were just talking about what role religion of Islam has to play in shaping the personality of our youth. And you just, mentioned how religion invites us to Allah. It kind of grants us this stability and this peace. And it makes us realize that our actions are what shape our personality. And therefore, don't be extreme nor negligent. Try to have a balanced life. And we have people who show us that it's possible to be such.
Yeah. Islam also lays a lot of emphasis on the family. Family life is very important. Why? It's because that family, when it is formed in the right way, with choosing the right, selecting the right spouse for yourself, for oneself, will form individuals that could be leaders of the society.
Yeah.
So this is an influential factor in the development of man's personality. To look at the family, the lineage of the person, the criteria that you're looking for to get a spouse, all these are very important to form a child with personality. In addition to that, Islam lays a lot of emphasis on the society. Society and also one's willpower. When we look at all these things like the family, the society and the willpower, the determination that a person should have, that forms a person's true personality and a strong personality. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in one of his letters to his son, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, writes that adolescent's heart resembles an empty land that accepts any seed it is sowed with. Therefore, before your heart is hardened and your brain is trapped, I have taught you good manners so that you can embark on your tasks resolutely. Tasks that experienced people endured their hardships, and you have been spared the ordeal of experiencing them again.
Wow, that's actually very beautiful.
The only elements that grant men security and form the strong personality in himself is and releases him from all anxieties is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is so much emphasized in religion. Like the Holy Quran says that Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, do the hearts find rest. So a personality that is balanced will not be over anxious, depressed. Apart from the knowledge of Allah, the religion points out to the fact that in life, there are so many hurdles that you have to pass. And the best thing to overtake those hurdles is the remembrance of Allah. And that's why, Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. In this regard, our Iranian leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, has said, attention to and love for Allah gives meaning to man's life. It bridges his mental gaps and brings him success in all aspects. This is pointing out a very strong personality.
Yeah.
The reason why in some countries such as United States, aspects such as money, military power and even knowledge cannot bring about happiness and psychological problems step from alienation from God and spirituality.
Yeah.
So when you alienate yourself from religion, which teaches you the true meaning of what God is, which is full of perfection, and the true role models, the awliya, and how true spirituality should be, and how one is free from any anxiety if he adheres to God and remembers Allah, then only one can have that nature of a very strong personality. And this shows what a great role religion has to play to shape the personality, especially in the ripe age of youth.
Ahsan. So that was very, very insightful. And thank you very much for your valuable time, Sister Salma. And we hope to see you in the next episode. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening. You've just listened to IRIB English Radio, where we had a discussion on child upbringing. And if you want to listen to our programs or get more information, you can log on to parstoday.ir/en under the tab COI. Call of Islam. And if you type in Call of Islam Radio, you can find it on YouTube and Instagram. And you can email us on englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, asking for forgiveness in the holy month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is an honor to be here. So, dear friends, we are in the holy month of Ramadan. We are talking about Islamic lifestyle, and alhamdulillah, this is A to Z. So, we're talking about how forgiveness is something that we really need to be doing in the holy month of Ramadan. So, you know, sometimes we really spend a lot of time, you know, thinking about not eating and not drinking and, you know, not breaking the commandments of Allah. And of course, you know, just trying to go through the day. I mean, you know, yes, it is difficult not eating and not drinking from, you know, the time of Sahar until the time of Iftar. It is difficult. I mean, you know, nobody can say that this is something that is easy. But of course, you know, the rewards are incredibly high as well. I mean, eternal salvation, eternal bliss, and of course, a connection with the Almighty Allah. These are not small rewards, indeed. But we're talking about forgiveness. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to not ask for forgiveness, or we kind of forget amongst the hustle and bustle of our day while we're fasting and we're going to community iftars, for example. We have a tendency to forget to ask for forgiveness. It's interesting and quite profound that, you know, in the Holy Quran, the concept of forgiveness and asking for forgiveness and repentance and istighfar is something which is, you know, is quite prevalent. And on the other hand, when we look at the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, we find that asking for forgiveness, of course, is also a very integral part of a Islamic lifestyle, and it is something that is highly, highly recommended to be doing in the holy month of Ramadan.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about asking for forgiveness in this holy month of Ramadan. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in, you know, the holy month of Ramadan and the various things that are going on and the programs that we need to be attending and, you know, the things that we want to do, that we have a tendency to forget to ask for forgiveness. Of course, the holy month of Ramadan is a month which is full of blessings. And as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi very beautifully says, it's a month which is full of forgiveness, meaning the doors of repentance are open and Allah is waiting and yearning for people to come and ask for forgiveness. And this itself is quite profound. A lot of times, you know, we don't understand these statements, but Allah wants us to ask for forgiveness so that Allah can forgive us. You know, He wants to forgive us. It's almost like Allah the Almighty, the Compassionate, the Merciful, is looking for an excuse to forgive us. He is looking for any reason to be able to forgive us. But, you know, the main point and the caveat is that we ourselves ask for that forgiveness. And so if we ask for forgiveness, of course, Allah is more than willing to forgive us. This is known as the month of forgiveness. This is known as the month for repentance. And, you know, one of the translations or interpretations of the word Ramadan, it is this fire that burns away one's sins. That's how much forgiveness we are, talking about. And of course, as the Messenger of Allah says in a famous sermon, that this is a month of forgiveness, and that every single night the angels in the holy month of Ramadan announce who is there who is asking for forgiveness, so that the Almighty Allah may forgive them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Limelight. In New York, United States, a judge has delayed the start of Donald Trump's New York hush money trial. Judge Juan Merchan delayed the trial until mid-April because of discovery issues. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster ABC News has covered this story and tells us more. The judge overseeing former President Donald Trump's New York hush money case has delayed the start of the trial from its original 25th of March start date due to discovery issues raised by the defense. Trial on this matter is adjourned for 30 days from the date of this letter, Judge Juan Merchan wrote on Friday, 15th of March, which would push the new trial date to mid-April. The judge scheduled a hearing for 25th of March to address the discovery concerns. Lawyers for Donald Trump were seeking to delay the start of the trial in order to allow them to review tens of thousands of pages of potential evidence recently disclosed by the Justice Department. Judge Juan Merchan, in his ruling on Friday, 15th of March, said, "There are significant questions of fact he must resolve before he decides whether the Manhattan District Attorney flouted its obligations to disclose potential evidence, as alleged by the defense." On Thursday, 14th of March, the Manhattan District Attorney's office proposed a delay of up to 30 days to give the parties time to review newly discovered material related to former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Donald Trump's attorneys were seeking an even longer delay. 30 days is not sufficient given the volume of recently produced materials and the nature of the ongoing disputes, Trump attorney Todd Blanche said in a letter to Judge Juan Merchan. "Therefore, we respectfully request that the court schedule a hearing on the pending discovery motion and the scheduling of a trial date, should one be necessary, at a time that is convenient to Your Honor, during the week of 25th of March." Donald Trump last April pleaded not guilty to a 34-count indictment charging him with falsifying business records in connection with a hush money payment that Michael Cohen made to film actress Stormy Daniels just days before the 2016 presidential election. In seeking the delay, the defense also repeated its insistence that the indictment must be dismissed. The people's consent to an adjournment of the trial is a necessary step towards a just resolution of these proceedings, but the court must not permit that request to obscure the need to dismiss the indictment as a whole, or at the very least, for inquiry and fact-finding into the circumstances that put Your Honor and President Trump in this position, based on ongoing discovery violations, the defense said. Jury selection for the trial is currently scheduled to get underway on 25th of March in New York City. The former President Donald Trump has denied all wrongdoing. British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. A judge on Friday, 15th of March, delayed Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial until at least mid-April, after the former president's lawyers said they needed more time to sift through a profusion of evidence they only recently obtained from a previous federal investigation into the matter. Judge Juan Manuel Merchant agreed to a 30-day postponement and scheduled a hearing for 25th of March to address questions about the evidence dump. The trial has been slated to start on 25th of March. It is among four criminal indictments against Donald Trump, the presumptive 2024 Republican presidential nominee. Trump's lawyers wanted a 90-day delay to the trial, which would have pushed the start of the trial into early summer. Prosecutors said they were okay with a 30-day adjournment in an abundance of caution and to ensure that the defendant has sufficient time to review the new materials. Trump's lawyers said they have received tens of thousands of pages of evidence in the last 2 weeks from U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan, which investigated the hush money arrangement while Donald Trump was president. The evidence includes records about former Trump lawyer turned prosecution witness Michael Cohen that are exculpatory and favorable to the defense. Trump's lawyer said, prosecutors say most of the newly turned over material is largely irrelevant to the subject matter of this case, though some records are pertinent. The hush money case centers on allegations that Donald Trump falsified his company's records to hide the true nature of payments to Michael Cohen, who paid actress Stormy Daniels $130,000 during the 2016 presidential campaign to suppress her claims about Donald Trump. Trump pleaded not guilty last year to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records and has denied having any encounters with Stormy Daniels. His lawyers argue the payments to Michael Cohen were legitimate legal expenses and were not part of any cover-up. Prosecutors contend that Trump's lawyers caused the evidence problem by waiting until 18th of January, a mere 9 weeks before the scheduled start of jury selection, to subpoena the U.S. Attorney's Office for the full case file. District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office said it requested the full file last year, but the U.S. Attorney's Office only turned over a subset of the records. Trump's lawyers received that material last June and had ample time to seek additional evidence from the federal probe the District Attorney's Office is claiming. Short trial delays because of issues with evidence aren't unusual, but any delay in a case involving Donald Trump would be significant, with trial dates in his other criminal cases up in the air and Election Day less than 8 months away. The defense has also sought to delay the trial until after the U.S. Supreme Court rules on Donald Trump's presidential immunity claims, which, as lawyers say, could apply to some of the allegations and evidence in the hush money case. The Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments on 25th of April. Donald Trump has repeatedly sought to postpone his criminal trials while he campaigns to retake the White House.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, once more, I am honored to be here. And this is Asma. Well, I'm not alone. I have a co-host in here, Brother Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always happy to be in Youth Station. And as usual, we're going to talk about something very, very fascinating. And this time, since we are in the holy month of Ramadan, we're going to talk about what's going on in these 30 days of holiness.
Or
and
29.
All the blessings and benedictions that comes from the skies above.
Right. I mean, this is probably my favorite month of the year, you know, since I was a kid. Because I think everything sort of changes this month,
yeah.
Right? Everybody changes, the routine changes, the things that we eat and all the different things that we do.
Exactly.
I think it's just a very different month from the rest of the year. And I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same in here. Well, you know what? I used to say to everyone that in the holy month of Ramadan, and it's not something cliched or hackneyed, I guess the world becomes a different world. Like, human beings are different, the environment is different, the feelings that you get from everything is different, and it's all about the holiness that encompasses this month and everything about it.
Definitely. There's so many blessings that we're told descend upon, human beings during this month from God, but apart from that, I think even... I think our mood changes, you know, just the effects of not eating, for example,
yeah.
And the changes in routine, that also has a great impact on our, you know, way of thinking and how mm-hmm. we perceive the world, because all of these things are sort of interrelated, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Why this month is so different from the other days of everyday life. And if I want to start with, I would say that the fact that you have more of time to strengthen your bond with your God is something very important. Like in the other days of the year, you also have this opportunity. But like as in here, you have an invitation. And then for this invitation, you're going to be mentally prepared. It's like you're looking forward these days.
Right. And you know, before even Ramadan starts, you know, the month of Rajab and Shaban,
yeah.
They're sort of like preparatory months for this
exactly.
month. This is like a culmination of, you know, of 3 months. This is almost mm-hmm. like, I would say, just how seasons change, right? This is like the spiritual season,
exactly.
right? The Rajab. And Ramadan is the sort of the max.
The climax. Or
the climax of that, right, right. And God says, you know, this is His month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're told like once you go through this month, you're like a newborn baby, right? In terms of all of your sins are forgiven. And I know some non-Muslims that also fast during Ramadan, by the way. You know,
yeah.
When I was living in some other parts of the world, there would be sometimes non-Muslims that would just practice fasting because
nice.
They enjoyed that feeling as well, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Because in all of the Islamic countries, you can see the change in the city, in the face of the city. Everywhere is changing. People are getting prepared. The stores look different. Like everything in the city goes
yeah, yeah.
through a very drastic change. And also among the...
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, once more, I am honored to be here. And this is Asma. Well, I'm not alone. I have a co-host in here, Brother Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always happy to be in Youth Station. And as usual, we're going to talk about something very, very fascinating. And this time, since we are in the holy month of Ramadan, we're going to talk about what's going on in these 30 days of holiness.
Or and 29.
All the blessings and benedictions that comes from the skies above.
Right. I mean, this is probably my favorite month of the year, you know, since I was a kid. Because I think everything sort of changes this month,
yeah.
Right? Everybody changes, the routine changes, the things that we eat and all the different things that we do.
Exactly.
I think it's just a very different month from the rest of the year. And yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same in here. Well, you know what? I used to say to everyone that in the holy month of Ramadan, and it's not something cliched or hackneyed, I guess the world becomes a different world. Like, human beings are different, the environment is different, the feelings that you get from everything is different, and it's all about the holiness that encompasses this month and everything about it.
Definitely. You know, there's so many blessings that we're told descend upon, you know, human beings during this month from God, and just, but apart from that, I think even I think our mood changes, you know, just the effects of not eating, for example,
yeah.
And the changes in routine, that also has a great impact on our, you know, way of thinking and how mm-hmm. we perceive the world, because all of these things are sort of interrelated, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Why this month is so different from the other days of everyday life. And if I want to start with, I would say that the fact that you have more of time to strengthen your bond with your God is something very important. Like in the other days of the year, you also have this opportunity. But like as in here, you have an invitation. And then for this invitation, you're going to be mentally prepared. It's like you're looking forward these days.
Right. And you know, before even Ramadan starts, you know, the month of Rajab and Shaban,
yeah.
They're sort of like preparatory months for this
exactly.
month. This is like a culmination of, you know, of 3 months. This is almost mm-hmm. like, I would say, just how seasons change, right? This is like the spiritual season,
exactly.
right? The Rajab. And Ramadan is the sort of the max.
The climax.
Or the climax of that, right, right. And God says, you know, this is His month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're told like once you go through this month, you're like a newborn baby, right? In terms of all of your sins are forgiven. And I know some non-Muslims that also fast during Ramadan, by the way. You know,
yeah.
When I was living in some other parts of the world, there would be sometimes non-Muslims that would just practice fasting because
nice.
They enjoyed that feeling as well, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Because in all of the Islamic countries, you can see the change in the city, in the face of the city. Everywhere is changing. People are getting prepared. The stores look different. Like, everything in the city goes
yeah, yeah.
through a very drastic change. And also, among the...
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, once more, I am honored to be here. And this is Asma. Well, I'm not alone. I have a co-host in here, Brother Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always happy to be in Youth Station. And as usual, we're going to talk about something very, very fascinating. And this time, since we are in the holy month of Ramadan, we're going to talk about what's going on in these 30 days of holiness.
Or and 29.
All the blessings and benedictions that comes from the skies above.
Right. I mean, this is probably my favorite month of the year, you know, since I was a kid. Because I think everything sort of changes this month, right? Everybody changes, the routine changes, the things that we eat and all the different things that we do.
Exactly.
I think it's just a very different month from the rest of the year. And I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same in here. Well, you know what? I used to say to everyone that in the holy month of Ramadan, and it's not something cliched or hackneyed, I guess the world becomes a different world. Like, human beings are different, the environment is different, the feelings that you get from everything is different. And it's all about the holiness that encompasses this month and everything about it.
Definitely. You know, there's so many blessings that we're told descend upon, human beings during this month from God. And just, but apart from that, I think even... I think our mood changes, you know, just the effects of not eating, for example, and the changes in routine, that also has a great impact on our, you know, way of thinking and how we perceive the world, because all of these things are sort of interrelated, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Why this month is so different from the other days of everyday life. And if I want to start with, I would say that the fact that you have more of time to strengthen your bond with your God is something very important. Like in the other days of the year, you also have this opportunity. But like as in here, you have an invitation. And then for this invitation, you're going to be mentally prepared. It's like you're looking forward these days.
Right. And you know, before even Ramadan starts, you know, the month of Rajab and Shaban, they're sort of like preparatory months for this month. This is like a culmination of, you know, of 3 months. This is almost like, I would say, just how seasons change, right? This is like the spiritual season, right? The Rajab. And Ramadan is the sort of the max.
The climax. Or the
climax of that, right, right. And God says, you know, this is His month, right? Mm-hmm. And we're told like once you go through this month, you're like a newborn baby, right? In terms of all of your sins are forgiven. And I know some non-Muslims that also fast during Ramadan, by the way. You know, when I was living in some other parts of the world, there would be sometimes non-Muslims that were just practice fasting because they enjoyed that feeling as well, by the way.
Exactly. Because in all of the Islamic countries, you can see the change in the city, in the face of the city. Everywhere is changing. People are getting prepared. The stores look different. Like everything in the city goes through a very drastic change. And also among the...
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Tour the pitch.
On Youth Station. Youth
Station. I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, once more, I am honored to be here. And this is Asma. Well, I'm not alone. I have a co-host in here, Brother Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum. So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always happy to be in Youth Station. And as usual, we're going to talk about something very, very fascinating. And this time, since we are in the holy month of Ramadan, We're going to talk about what's going on in these 30 days of holiness.
Or 29.
All the blessings and benedictions that comes from the skies above.
Right. I mean, this is probably my favorite month of the year, you know, since I was a kid. Because I think everything sort of changes this month, right? Everybody changes, the routine changes, the things that we eat and all the different things that we do.
Exactly.
I think it's just a very different month from the rest of the year. And I really enjoy it.
Yeah, same in here. Well, you know what? I used to say to everyone that in the holy month of Ramadan, and it's not something cliched or hackneyed, I guess the world becomes a different world. Like, human beings are different, the environment is different, the feelings that you get from everything is different, and it's all about the holiness that encompasses this month.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Sports grounds in Gaza have been targeted by the Zionist regime during its genocidal war against Gaza. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, many sports grounds in Gaza have been destroyed or badly damaged by the Zionist regime. Others have been repurposed as sites of detention, torture and execution. They include Yarmouk Stadium in Gaza City. A video has been circulated showing the Israeli military ordering Palestinians, some of them children, to line up on its pitch. The detainees have also been filmed being forced to kneel with their hands behind their backs. Hani Al-Masdar is among the many athletes who have been killed by the Zionist regime. Also known as Abu Al-Abed, he was an accomplished football player who went on to coach the Palestinian Olympic team. Naghem Abu Samra had a black belt in karate. She was hoping to represent Palestine at the Olympic Games in Paris later this year. Her ambitions have been snuffed out. Naghem died from injuries sustained in an Israeli regime airstrike that also killed her sister. Naghem was widely considered a role model for Palestinian girls. Mohammad Khattab was an international football referee. He and his family were killed in an attack on Deir al-Balah in central Gaza. At least 160 accredited athletes have been killed since the genocide began in October. Many more people who played sports for exercise or enjoyment have lost their lives. Throughout the world, people take part in and watch sports every single day. It is a normal part of life. Living a normal life is impossible in Gaza. The Zionist regime is imposing cruel conditions on an entire society as part of an attempt to destroy it. There is a word for such attempts: genocide. Meanwhile, Palestine Chronicle wrote, Palestinian footballer Mohammed Barakat was killed recently after the Israeli occupation forces bombed his house in Khan Yunis. The Barakat family's home was bombed early in the day, the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, Al Jazeera reported. Barakat was one of the top scorers and the first player in Gaza to score 100 goals for one team. He represented the Palestinian national team and Al Ahli Gaza Football Club in the local league. The 39-year-old scored 114 goals and is known as the legend of Khan Yunis due to his long association with the Khan Yunis Youth Club, of which he was captain. Barakat also played for several clubs in the occupied West Bank and Jordan, including Al-Wehdat. Khaled Abu Habal, defender of the Palestinian Maghazi Services team, described the death of striker Barakat as a great loss for Palestinian football. Abu Habal told Al Jazeera, he was fast and smart, top scorer off the pitch. He was nice and friendly, a beloved friend for everyone. According to the Palestinian Football Association, the number of sports martyrs as a result of the ongoing Israeli regime genocidal war on Gaza and continued attacks on West Bank since October 7, 2023, has risen to 157. 9 of those killed were football players, including 23 children and 67 young players. Additionally, 22 sports facilities were destroyed in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, in addition to the arrest of many athletes. Currently on trial before the International Court of Justice for genocide against Palestinians, the Zionist regime has been waging a devastating war on Gaza since October 7th. According to Gaza's Ministry of Health, at least 31,112 Palestinians have been killed and 72,670 wounded in the Zionist regime's ongoing genocide in Gaza starting on October 7th. Moreover, at least 7,000 people are unaccounted for, presumed dead under the rubble of their homes throughout the Gaza Strip. Palestinian and international organizations say the majority of those killed and wounded are women and children. The Zionist regime's aggression has also resulted in the forceful displacement of nearly 2 million people from all over the Gaza Strip, with the vast majority of the displaced forced into densely crowded southern city of Rafah near the border with Egypt in what has become Palestine's largest mass exodus since 1948 Nakba. The child killer regime of Israel says that 1,200 of its troops were killed during Al-Aqsa flood operation on October 7th. The Zionist regime's media published reports suggesting that many Israelis were killed on that day by friendly fire.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The dawns of the month of Ramadan should not be missed. The annual Ramadan Quranic meeting, April 30th, 2019. Sometimes one feels that a reciter recites the Holy Quran as if he were taking a book in his hands and reading it word by word. This is not good, and it does not fulfill the purpose. You should instill the message into the minds of the audience. Sometimes this is possible with repetition, and sometimes it is possible by stressing a sentence or a word. This should be done. Another point that should receive attention is observing the tone. Of course, Arabic and Quranic tones are not tangible for our people and Qur'an. They are not tangible tones. A person who recites a Persian poem does so with the appropriate tone. But if the same person wants to read out an Arabic poem or sentence, he may not be able to choose the appropriate tone because they are foreign to us. They are not familiar and tangible tones like Persian tones and songs. However, Quranic tones are gradually becoming tangible for Quranic personalities and reciters of the Holy Quran. This is because of repetition and exposure to the Holy Quran. These tones should be adopted in the right way.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
I sometimes listen to reciters who recite Quranic ayahs in a pleasant and very good voice. Their voices are of a high quality and they have strength and a good pitch and vibration, but they do not observe the tone. Observing the tone, that is to say, the order and discipline of the song and what your recitation is based on, is necessary. You do not recite the Holy Quran in an ordinary way. You recite it in a rhythmic way. Perhaps in all religions, at least in all those monotheistic and non-monotheistic religions which I am familiar with, holy texts are recited in a rhythmic way. We have witnessed this up close. So, you should recite the Holy Quran in a rhythmic way, and this rhythm and tone should be observed. The tone should be adopted by observing its requirements. If this is not done, it will undoubtedly not produce the desired effect, and it sometimes produces the opposite effect.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You've guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You've guided me from all the ways that were wrong.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
On Saturday, thousands of people joined a new rally in the Italian capital, organized, among the others, by the movement of the Palestinian students and the Association of the Palestinians in Italy, The initiative, dubbed Stop